Hello, everybody. Welcome to Yachting International Radio. You've tuned into Taylor Tech Stories. And here today, we've got Dan Armsden from Crudentials, who's going to tell us his story about how he ended up in the position he is now, which is the co-founder of Crudentials, which is a platform to do with communicating credentials of crew members to various authorities and everything like that. So Dan, thank you so much for coming on. And if you'd like to just quickly introduce yourself, and then we'll kind of rewind right to the start of your career and where you set out, and hear your story.
Definitely. Well, thank you, Ben, so much for the opportunity. I really appreciate it. Also, Rebecca, for the introduction on LinkedIn as well. Thank you very much there as well. So a little bit about myself. I've always worked in the maritime industry from an early age. As a sailing instructor and working in chineries over here in Guernsey. Eventually went to work on board super yachts in the early 2000s and came ashore back in about 2006. Was working for your management company there and ultimately led on to what we're doing now, which is Crudentials, which is improving the way that credentials are shared and managed within the maritime industry.
All right, okay, fantastic. So we started off with, is it dinghy instructing and sailing instructing?
Yeah, it was. So I was born in Oxford, lived in Oxford, UK for about 10 years. And my family moved to Guernsey way back in 1989, I think it was, something like that. So came over to Guernsey and I fell in love with the sea and became a dinghy instructor or just started sailing. Eventually worked up my way up to a dinghy instructor and eventually working in chineries as well and the little marinas over here in Guernsey. So I've always had a fascination for the sea and the maritime industry.
Right. Okay. And what's the kind of professional side of that? So was that purely instructing or was that part time? And then when you went into the chandlery side, kind of what position are you in? Are you packing boxes? Are you running a website? Are you leading the company? Where did it kind of like, what's the day to day reality at this stage?
So this was all when I was at school over here in Guernsey. So it was part time opportunities sort of working. It was amazing, like the dinghy instructor side of things, teaching adults as well. As I was like a little 16-year-old kid, sort of teaching adults how to sail a little dinghy around as well, which is really good fun. Really enjoyed that. Working in chineries was, I think that actually helped set me up for client service because the amount of people used to come in and get so frustrated with yeah, I need a thimble. So what's a thimble? Is it something to stick on your finger like this or is it needle? So it's all these people come in really frustrated, trying to explain their problem. And you've got to stay calm and actually listen to what they're saying and then trying to solve their problem for them. So I found that was quite a good part of sort of career growth or setting up for really where we're going now with credentials and my time working aboard CPIs and obviously as a yacht manager as well.
Right, yeah. And I always love hearing people's stories of kind of those core skills that you develop right at the start and then actually that they're still being used every day now. And something like customer service, I just think it's such a challenge at that age and that stage to say, well, just to deal with like an angry customer, like it's the classic situation and they're only getting worse, especially in the super yacht sector. But yeah, just gaining those communication skills and seeing how that integrates with a business is a great skill to have. So you mentioned one big jump. So you're going from school and dinghy instructing to the chandlery scene. How do you then go to super yachts?
So that happened, I think the chandlery scene was sort of temporary work, but I got a bit bored of that. I wasn't really interested in the retail side. I wanted to do more. So I got a job working in a marina over here called Beauceau Marina, which is, I think, still to this day, one of the best jobs I've ever had. I was driving around in a small little rib, a little small dory, driving out of the marina, helping visitors come through a really sort of tight, narrow entrance. It's an old quarry that had the Navy came across and blew an entrance in it as well, way back in, I think it was 60s or 50s. So really quite sort of a beautiful marina. I was working there for about 3 years on and off as well. Sort of learned my sort of boating skills there about how to maneuver boats, literally just from seeing other people's errors as well. So that was probably one of my favorite times in my career. And that's how I got working on super yachts because the manager at the time used to work on yachts back in the day and he still had contacts in the industry. I was very fortunate that I didn't have to do any dock walking at all. I just got an introduction from the marina manager to his friend who's a captain on there. At the time, it was a big boat, but now it's not very much. It's a 104-foot Mose boat based in Fort Lauderdale. So I had an interview with him, the deckhand as well, and I was sort of first mate at the time, and got the job as a deckhand over in Fort Lauderdale. So I went over there, did about a year and a half, first Atlantic crossing, came back to the Med, and then moved on to a few different jobs from there. So it all happened from my days back over here in Guernsey, really.
Yeah, I love how these things happen. And at the start, you kind of have this journey, this career plan of this is what I'm going to do, this is what I want to be. And then anything can happen. Like, you must have been in the marina one day and just gone, why don't I just work on that? Or someone having some kind of conversation that actually results in such a massive change in your reality and day-to-day living. And for that to be on a super yacht is quite cool. That's an exciting time.
Definitely. We were waiting for visitors to come into the marina, we're always reading through magazines, and had probably what the equivalent was Boat International at the time, and these super yacht magazines, and seeing these amazing boats. And that's where I really got my fascination for these particular vessels. So it's very fortunate to get my introduction that way. Another thing I was doing at the time, I haven't really mentioned, it's quite an important thing. I was doing a degree in naval architecture at Southampton University. Forgot that, talking about driving boats instead around marinas and stuff. But yeah, so I did a degree in naval architecture, because originally I wanted to design yachts and power craft. But as I got through the course, it was pretty heavy going. I completed it, it's fine. Got my BH degree there as well from Southampton Uni. Ultimately, I think working in the marinas at the same time and seeing this, amazing yachting lifestyle and hearing about it from the marina manager, it's like, right, that's where I'm going. I'm going to work in these things. So it went, jumped out to Fort Lauderdale back in, I think it's about year 2000, I think 2001. Worked in yachts for 5 years, mainly in Fort Lauderdale. Came back over and worked in most of the Med, sort of usual places in Italy, France, the Milk Run as well. Worked in a 46 meter at the time. It was all deck with a bit of engineering, it was always assistant engineer. Eventually ran a small 20 meter boat with my then girlfriend, now wife. And that, I reckon, was probably one of the biggest learning curves I'd have ever had. I was 25 or 28, I think, at the time. And the responsibility, even though it's a small boat, I mean, we had, I don't know, anyway, but there's a lot of responsibility. And you sort of learning to go. It's a charter vessel. We did so many hours on that thing. It was crazy. Things were breaking, had to fix it. So I suppose from that, what I learned is how to really be adaptable. So when I came ashore, it's not like, right, I just work in the deck department, that's all I do. It's like all hands to the pump. You got to work over here, you got to do this, and just adapt to change like that. But I enjoy the time at sea, and actually miss it as well. When the long passages, seeing the sort of the horizon like that, that's something I'm always going to miss, I think.
Yeah, and it's quite an amazing place to work. I mean, it's got a bit of a, I'd say there's a bit of a fantasy perception about it and what it will be like. And I believe the reality is actually very hardworking, with some massive highlights. And so it becomes this kind of type two fun zone, where you look back on it and go, oh my goodness, that was like amazing, an amazing part of your life and your career. So you're doing that, you're on the super yachts, you've got the job and relationship now going. And then how does that kind of come to an end, and how do you move into land-based stuff, and what happens next?
Yeah, so the reason why I came ashore is my wife was, she trained as a solicitor at university, and she felt like if she kept away from that sort of legal side for too long, she might lose that knowledge. She was quite important for us to get back to somewhere either, somewhere shore-based, so she could start practicing in law. So she's still a qualified lawyer now, sort of helping out on the business side as well, which is great for us when it comes to the GDPR and that sort of side as well. So we moved back in, it's about 2006. And I think this is something a lot of crew probably encounter, is that it's very difficult to find that job ashore where you can use all your skills. And I actually felt like, washing boats and driving boats, you can do so much, but there's so much more. I think I didn't really realize how many skills you develop as a crew member. And I'm really talking about customer service, manage them. We talked about an early day when I was working in charteries and dealing with difficult customers, and it just gets escalated when you're dealing with these the clients and guests coming aboard as well. So it's really important for crew to realize they don't just do the physical aspects of the job. It's actually the customer service skills are fantastic and they're very transferable into businesses, for sure, as well. So yes, getting back on point. So I moved ashore in 2005 or 2006. I spoke to all the yacht management companies, or I say yacht management companies. People probably see them as more trust companies that specialize in vessel ownership. So they provide the owning structures for the vessel and do all the ancillary services as well. And there's quite a lot of that over here in Guernsey. So I spoke to the companies. I really liked the idea of working for one particular company. They didn't have a position at the time, so I had to wait for about a year until that position opened up, and I joined it, and it was the right position. So I worked there for about 11 years in total, which was great. So I started off as a client service officer, which means you have a portfolio of, let's say, about 60, 70 yachts. With that particular portfolio, you do everything, all the corporate administration, employment, payroll, you know, signing charter agreements. So you had to really become this almost like superhuman person that knows everything in the maritime industry. It was really difficult. But eventually, within the business, we decided to split it into a corporate team, specialised in that corporate side, and a sort of crew team and a technical team. So I was then head of the crew team, your technical team. And it's partly there. So I'm going a bit more on the story about credentials now, but I'll probably stop there. But it was some of the problems. Do you want to talk about the problems I experienced when I was shore-based as well?
Yeah, go for it, yeah.
So, this is where sort of the whole credentials thing came about, really, is because when I was working as a crew member, I found it really difficult to find a central place to put my certification, my personal information, and then to share that within the contacts you build up. And then also keep a record of where I've shared my data. I'm probably still registered with God knows how many different recruitment companies. I've got no idea what my password is or how to get in there and access that data. So that's one of the things I thought we could probably solve that. But the second thing is, working ashore and leading the crewing team as well, there's so many problems about how that data or the information is sent through to the manager or the employer. Forms are incomplete, or illegible, you can't see what's going on. And you find that the certification that's needed for that person to work on the boat is really confusing. You look at the flag state regulations versus, is this yacht master variable bigger or less than this one? And the engineering side is a minefield as well. So it took quite a lot of specialist knowledge to decipher those sort of requirements. And I thought that's when we can use some sort of automated system to do it. And I've always been a bit of an Excel geek and a systems person. I'm not a dev person at all, but I love making Excel sheet dance and singing around. I've spoken to so many persons that share the same sort of thing as well. And I was like, I have these crazy ideas. I'm like, right, we can do this, we can use that. And there's artificial intelligence and machine learning. And I had all these crazy ideas. And everyone's like, Dan, just get on with your chargeable work. Just get on with it. And I was like, no, I could save so much time by developing a system to automate a lot of this. And so really, I think eventually I thought, right, enough's enough. I'm going to go off and do this and give it a go. And so that's how it really led to what we do now, is this credentials, really.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And I've heard about this problem before, and I've actually seen examples of like how this information is communicated. We're talking about like huge long email chains, bullet points, and a separate email that says, oh, I'm this. And then it's a mess. It's absolutely madness, really, when you look at how efficient operations, especially if they can be done digitally, how efficient they can become. Right, Kate. So you've got this company in mind. You start developing it. I believe you have a co-founder. So how did that come about?
Right. Yeah. So the co-founder, James Benz. Brilliant guy, probably the best introduction I've ever had in my life. He's brilliant. We've been working with him for just over a year now. The introduction came about following the idea to build our proof of concept. So really for us, for this platform to work, we needed to have some sort of automation, like a machine to actually recognize a type of certificate, extract data from it and run automated checks. And that's really, I wouldn't say the core, but it's a really key feature of what we're trying to do with that automation side. And I looked at different systems online, trying to find out what I could use. And there's nothing that really fitted. There's products that were close, but not quite right. I was just being quite a sort of systematic engineering sort of mind. I was like, well, there's three steps. If we could do this, this, and this, then surely we can make it work. And I spoke to so many developers that said, no, it's impossible. There's too much variation. Elementary first aid certificate. How many training centers issue it in their own formats? And how we can get a machine to recognize that and say that's what it is. So, but I had a different approach to it. I thought that it could be possible. And eventually, after a lot of work, we got introduced to James, and he'd been using some tech which I hadn't come across before, and he'd been waiting for that test case to use it. So when he heard about us, he'd already started looking into it before he even had that first call. And we really struck it off and got on brilliantly. And he said, yeah, I think we could do this. And within 2 weeks of getting him involved, we'd had a working prototype. And that's when it's like fireworks were off. Like, right, we've got something here. We can do it. And since then, we've refined it so much more. So we're using a bit of AI, a lot of algorithms to really refine the results as well. And now we're confident we've got a product which is launched now. It's within this app for Recruit we launched in August last year, that you can basically scan we train it to recognize maritime certificates. And once it recognizes it, within a few seconds, it extracts the text. Because we're doing that, we can then run all the automated checks we're looking to do to check it's verify it's a genuine certificate, all that sort of stuff. So yeah, we're quite excited. You can probably tell. So I'm quite a lot. But yeah, so that's how I got involved with James anyway. That's how I got introduced to James.
Right, okay, yeah. So I've kind of heard of this problem before, and then the battle, especially with tech, is because, especially with the superyacht sector, you're fairly niche, and technologies like AI, machine learning, they always require the scale of data. And so because each vessel is so unique, there's not necessarily a mass of data behind it. And so analyzing it and actually making a smooth process that's entirely automated or largely automated becomes a huge problem.
I think you hit the nail on the head there. And that's why I think so many developers said this is impossible, because you need that huge volume of data to recognize that certificate going forward. But we tweaked it around a little bit. So actually we can train it with just one copy of a certificate. So once we've got it in, and actually to give you an example, so we've trained it to recognize the type of certificate. So we talk about elementary, first aid, advanced firefighting. So if a user scans a certificate we haven't seen, as long as it meets the requirements we've set within the system, it will come up and it will recognize it as well. So that's the big difference about how we've done it, which we think it could, I'm not too worried about this just now, but it could scale out into different industries and it could have different use cases. But as far as we look, there's nothing out there that does what we do with just one copy. So it's quite a clever bit of tech we've developed in-house. And that's the sad thing is we talked about it a lot in this interview, but none of the interviews hardly even talk about it, because it's more about the platform. And I think the biggest win is for crew and managers, just that sharing of data in a more efficient way. Because at the moment, it's so repetitive. And all that repetition from crew and from employers. And there should be a central place for all of that to be stored. And then all the stakeholders approve access to different parties as well. So that's the bigger thing. But it's a shame we just overlook some really clever tech we've developed in-house, really. So.
Yeah, and I'm sure as it kind of grows, you end up finding use cases that you don't even think about yet. And then you get one client in that area and go, wait, there's a huge application for it in this scenario and many others. But I mean, hearing your story about the history in yachting and your development and career path, I mean, it makes so much sense to be doing what you're doing now. I can think of a few people that you must speak to, so we will have a chat afterwards. But I mean, Dan, thank you so much for coming on, and best of luck with this company to yourself and James. And thank you for coming on.
Brilliant. Really appreciate the opportunity, Ben. It's been great. Thank you very much.
You're absolutely welcome. You've been listening to Yachting International Radio, and this is Taylor Tech Stories. Thank you, Dan, for coming on, and we will see you next week. Bye for now.